Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of November, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, officials at US EPA have backed away from tomorrow's self-imposed deadline to make a decision about upping the national ethanol blend rate. An update to the locks and dams on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers remains undone. This despite congressional work 2 years ago to free up money for improvements. And Obama administration officials are touting the benefits of free trade. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you about a series of U of I Extension winter meetings. It all begins tomorrow with the Ag Masters program right here on this campus. Hey, and don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat pip. December futures up 18 and three quarters at $5.67 and a half a bushel. The March at 5.88 and three quarters, 19 higher in the May soft red at $6 and a half in Chicago, up 18 and a quarter. December wheat in Kansas City for the hard red at $5.60 and a half on its settlement price, up 17 and three quarter cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, December futures 4.02 and three quarters. They're in expiration. No limit on the trade, but still just a 5.5 cent trade higher today. March contract at 417 and a half, up four. The May at 427 and a quarter, up three and a quarter. And July at 435 and three quarters, 3 cents higher. September corn at 442 and a half, up three and a quarter. And next year's December contract in Chicago finished at 448 and a half, up 3 cents. Soy complex, January beans, $10.60 and a half, up 7.5. The March at 1066, up 7.25. May at 1068 and three quarters, up 8.5 cents. And July at 1074 and a half, up 9. November beans next year, 1052, up 4.25 on the afternoon. December bean meal finished at 326.80, up 30. Oil at 40.19, up 9. Live cattle at 83.20, unchanged. January feeders at 92.95, up 45. And the lean hogs at 58.60, down 42.5 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January futures at $77.28 a barrel, $1.23 higher. That's a settlement price for the afternoon. December ethanol at $2.13.5, up a penny and 4 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at 4.85 and 3 tenths, 33 and 9 tenths lower on the day. The RBOB at $2 even, just about 7 4 tenths of a cent higher. And the heating oil at $2.08. That's diesel fuel, up 5.5 cents. Gold futures at 1181. That's up $6.90 on its settlement price. And the Dow at 10,294. Is down just about 15 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 74.89, down 0.10, and the CRB index at 277.40, up 4.3. Goldman Sachs at $512.57, that's up 5.90, and the S&P at 1,089 is up 1.97 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It comes from meteorologist Daniel Pounder. He says tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows will range from 29 in the north to 34 in the south. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, pleasant tomorrow. Highs will range from 49 in the north to 58 in the south. The extended forecast says Illinois should see limited precip this week with just a few showers Wednesday and some flurries Thursday and Friday. A little more precipitation will fall across Indiana Wednesday night into Thursday, with even some light snow accumulation. The coldest air of the season coming into the region Wednesday night into the end of the week. Temps will only reach the lower 30s for the highs by Thursday and Friday. The good news, of course, is we'll see no significant precip across the Midwest until sometime early to mid next week. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of this hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On a Monday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities out of Normal joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I have been gone for just about a week, although there were only four trading days last week. It doesn't look like a whole lot has happened. Can you recap it for me, please, as we went through that Thanksgiving holiday?
Well, the market in general saw a little downer there at the beginning of the week, Monday. A little follow through there on Tuesday, then we were able to see the speculative money by early there Tuesday come back and support the marketplace, and that sort of generated some strength going into the so-called Thanksgiving holiday. Then on Thursday, Friday, concern about worldwide economic conditions sort of put the market on pulse here, hold as the market sort of corrected in and priced a little fear factor in there as trade was a little concerned about some of the economic situations. But today, looking at the grains close, we sort of put that to the side here and back to sort of trading some more investment money coming in with confidence. Maybe the commodities is going to hold together here for a while.
So to buy off to the side for the moment, do you think it will return?
Well, you just never know in this type of atmosphere what's going to happen from day to day. I go back to Commodity Week, or the analysts there gave us a price range of 375 to 475 in the corn futures market, and that could be the range just due to the macro picture, the news other than the grain fundamentals. So if traders feel we can move this corn up or down within a dollar here, outside of just raw fundamental news in the grain market, then this tells me as we go down the road in here, this market could be touchy, just any type of news that comes across the news wire.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about this volatility just a bit, because we have started to settle the market down after the big roar that we made through the last year, but there's still an awful lot of movement on a daily basis up and down. Is this something that you think we can expect for the longer term, that this type of volatility, these wider swings, are part and parcel of being at a level that's much higher than the market has been for, well, in any case, for as long as it's traded?
Yeah, I mean, we got to go back to the big runs, you know, especially 2008, to see such volatility. Well, but we're in an atmosphere where it's cool to trade commodities again. You know, prior to 2008, you go to happy hour or at a cocktail party, everybody talked about how many contracts of corn they owned. We're getting back in that atmosphere again where people want to diversify and take advantage of price moves. And as long as something moves, there's going to be world traders wanting to participate in that and take advantage of that. So what we're seeing is the funds come in and buy, but then on the flip side, the hedgers come in and sell. So that's going to create a lot of ups and downs, a lot of volatility, and a lot of opportunity if you've got a plan and stick to it.
Well, I would say that there are very few farmers that are true hedgers that are willing to stick it all the way out, but I suspect you have a few that are that way. How do they manage the volatility and the margin calls that come along with it? And have you been able to talk them through the nerves of just daily trades that might swing 10 or 15 cents against them?
The guys that did a straight hedge have come out well. When it's all said and done, excuse me, sticking it to a straight hedge, because when you get the wide gyrations, the wide basis, it's advantageous to hedge the market and wait for the basis to narrow. And there's been a tremendous amount of money made doing that, but That being said, there's been a tremendous amount of money needed to finance the position. So what we've seen is the true hedger has lined up financing to make this possible. They work with lenders that understand, that know the process of hedging, and know their clients quite well to get them through that process. That's the best way to do it. You might have to drink a little Pepto-Bismol every night, but the bottom line, that's the best position to be in as far as managing risk. It always has been and always will be until we find another tool to do it. Now, probably the second most popular way to manage the risk in the margin calls is to hedge the market, sell the futures, and come in and buy a call to cover it to help manage the margin calls. Then we can go down the line. We've got about three other strategies where you use futures and options to manage that risk. But we're in an atmosphere where the news is bullish, 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 bearish, bearish, bearish. So you've got to use the bullish, bullish news as a producer to make sales and stay somewhat flexible, I think, to be able to maneuver in and out of this marketplace.
Let's turn your attention to the marketplace directly at this point. Talk to me about what you think is left in the field for corn across the Midwest, what kind of condition that crop is in according to the producers you're talking to, and how long do they believe it'll take them to get it out?
Well, that's a good question because it varies from area to area. As a whole, I believe the trade's dialed in to see harvest progress right at 80% on corn. Last week, we were at 68%. And we'll see what the numbers show this afternoon. It seems like Central Illinois on north is lagging. Central Illinois on south, they're wrapped up or have a little bit to go. Yield reports continue to come in favorable or strong, for say. So expectations are we still have a big crop out there that what is left. So as long as standability has not become the issue, we'll slowly continue to get this harvest out. But after each rain event, producers say, well, we got to wait for a freeze, we're done. But what, 2 or 3 days later, they're at it.
They tend to go at it. You know, I talked to my brother last night, and I asked him about that, and he said there were a couple of things. He went into the field, and he didn't think it would stand. It's been an awful lot of water. So they went ahead and did it. There are an awful lot of ruts that are being cut out there. And that probably will come back and be a problem. I know it will come back and be a problem in the future, but that's what's happening at the moment. And he said on the ends when they were hauling out the other day, it was the poor man's auto steer because he could put the tractor and the wagon in that and just go a half mile and not have to steer because they were coming out the same spot. We'll see how all that works out, I suppose.
Yeah, a lot of producers said this is one of the best crops they've had, but one of the hardest crops to get out, and this year is going to be talked about for many years to come.
Well, indeed. We'll talk about it more in the future. Thanks for talking about it with us today.
Very good, Todd.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Kurt had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's a good one. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. It's as easy to get on that list as it is to get off it. You can hit unsubscribe there, too, and you can manage it as well. It's all at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Environmental Protection Agency faces a deadline of Tuesday to respond to an industry proposal to raise the current ethanol-to-gasoline blend rate from 10% to as high as 15%, but may defer a decision. Last month, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson said that EPA might not be able to decide by tomorrow whether to increase the blend rate. She said EPA was still reviewing test results on how E15 affects engines, ranging from those in cars and trucks to snowmobiles, lawnmowers, and motorboats. But a Renewable Fuels Association spokesperson says there is enough information to increase blending rates. Matt Hartwig says, quote, "We believe the data is there to do E15 or to justify a halfway step such as 12%. An EPA spokeswoman said last week that a statement is expected this week on the request. A landmark 2007 law supposed to save crumbling infrastructure on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers remains unfunded. In November of 2007, Congress overrode a presidential veto to approve a law authorizing $2 billion worth of construction and expansion of 7 of the 34 aging locks on the two rivers. The only money that has come through from Congress to back up the authorization thus far is a trickle of dollars to do pre-construction studies. Now, 2 years later, the U.S. House of Representatives is preparing a new 2010 version of WRDA, and a call has gone out to lawmakers to submit earmarked projects that they want approved. Top U.S. and other officials today say freer trade can help create jobs and support economic growth, and tariff-cutting accords should not be scaled back on account of the global turndown. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk says that the ministers and senior officials gathered in Geneva for a World Trade Organization ministerial meeting need to make sure trade can power continued growth and job creation. It's official, but only barely. Canada exited recession in the third quarter after three quarters of negative growth. Statistics Canada reported today, annualized real growth in gross domestic product for the quarter of 0.4%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week and of a whole series of programs that will be out in the countryside this winter, including tomorrow's Ag Masters program. I hope to see you at one of them. More on all of those meetings in just a moment.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension with an update on the winter meeting dates. The specialist here on campus will kick off the season Tuesday, December the 1st, debuting the Ag Masters Conference. The two-day event is set for the iHotel, that's just south of the Assembly Hall here in Champaign. The premier event will shortly take its place, I know, in a long legacy of University of Illinois crop production and protection programs that spans more than 60 years. It is an event targeted to those interested in making the most of the latest agricultural research and information. Continuing education units are available, including certified crop advisor credits and Indiana continuing certification hours. Registration and program information on the 2009 December 1 and 2 Ag Masters Conference is available online. Just search Google for Ag Masters, all one word. A bit later in the month, the five-day 2009 Illinois Farm Economic Summit Roadshow will kick off in Champaign, Illinois. That's on the 14th of December. It will be the first in a work week's worth of programs, including dates in Bloomington, Galesburg, Rochelle, and Mount Vernon on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, respectively. The Farm Economic Summits bring the University of Illinois Farm Doc team into the country. The U of I Ag Economist will cover crop livestock prices, prospective farm returns for 2010, speculate a bit on how price volatility impacts farmer marketing, look at the climate change bill, acre crop insurance and managing risk, and farmland values. The program runs from 7:45 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. daily. Pre-registration through December the 7th is $50. Registration for the 2009 Illinois Farm Economic Summit is online at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. And finally, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. The crop production and economic staple known as the Corn and Soybean Classic will return for its 13th year in January of 2010. The dates for the day-long University of Illinois Conference are the 6th in Mount Vernon, the 8th in Champaign, the 11th in Springfield, the 12th in Bloomington at the Doubletree this year, the 13th in Moline, and January the 14th in Malta at Kishwaukee College. I'll host the program, and Terry Niblack, Fabian Fernandez, Daryl Good, Vince Davis, Gary Schnitke, Emerson Nafziger, Mike Gray, Aaron Hager, and Carl Bradley will deliver the information. The Corn and Soybean Classics are for farmers and landowners and agribusiness professionals interested in learning about hands-on agriculture. Pre-registration for the January meetings is $60 and can be done online. Search Google for Corn and Soybean Classic. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Greg Johnson of the Andersons is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Still have farmers hauling corn in today?
Very busy day today. The little bit of rain we had yesterday stopped some people, but they're back at it again today.
Now, how many people have you talked to that have gotten stuck?
The ones that admit it, not that many. I'm sure it's happened a few times.
Yeah, I've seen enough ruts out there to think that it's probably happened. So the corn, they say, is it still standing on the inside of those fields?
Yes. Standability seems to be good at this point. They keep talking about these 15, 20-mile-an-hour winds, but so far I think the corn has done an excellent job, and hopefully we can get a bunch of it out this week if we can just I keep saying if we can keep missing these rains, if we can miss this rain Wednesday or Thursday, we could finish up some people by the end of the week, but that's a big if.
Yields or quality suffering at all?
Quality continues to be subnormal, light test weights. Damage, though, doesn't seem to be too bad. That early planted corn was with the diplodia was an issue, but we've seemed to work through that. But the test weights are still, 3 pounds lighter than normal, so that's the storability is going to be an issue, but overall quality seems to be okay, nothing that's getting discounted.
Yeah, why does the test weight create a storability problem?
I think test weight in general, is a pretty good indication of the quality of the corn. If you've got 60-pound corn, you've got a good product that'll store very easily. If you've got a 51-pound product, it just seems like that, it breaks apart easier. The corn has problems.
You get cracked kernels with smaller weights.
Exactly.
So cash base has been holding steady?
This is the week. This is the glut week, we think, where last week was a wet week. The week before was a wet week, but this is supposed to be a relatively dry week. So this is when a lot of corn will hit the market. So this week, the basis will probably be at its weakest for the fall. This will be that one week where the basis levels are at its low, and then 10 days from now we'll look back and say there was the bottom, and as soon as harvest starts winding up, we'll see the basis snap back.
Your bids for the day are?
Cash corn, 373. January, 392. Next fall, 418. Beans, 1045. January, also 1045. Next fall, 1012.
Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon. Back in two when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast here on Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Labor unions in Champaign County are again reaching out to disadvantaged people this holiday season by making sure they have enough to eat. But the focus this year is specifically aimed at places where the need is greatest. They'll start this weekend at sites in Rantoul and Mahomet. Elliot Schmidt with the United Way is coordinating sites for the AFL-CIO. While there have been a lot of layoffs, she says some of the poorest are working full-time jobs, but at minimum wage and aren't able to get the extra help they need. The food comes from the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Two people with ties to the University of Illinois will receive the state's highest honor next year. Each year, the state names laureates to its Order of Lincoln, honoring outstanding achievement among the state's natives and residents. The award for business, industry, and communications will go to U of I alumna Doris Christopher. The founder of the Pampered Chef Direct Sale at Kitchen Equipment Company established the Family Resiliency Program at the U of I to help people deal with the demands of work and family. Harlem Globetrotters owner Manny Jackson will also be named to the Lincoln Academy. He was the Illini's first African-American member of the All-American team and played for the traveling basketball team he would later own. Other Order of Lincoln honorees will include Chicago Public Library Commissioner Mary Dempsey, Judge William Bauer, and the Joffrey Ballet Company. A bond hearing for one of two Chicago men charged with planning a terrorist attack on a Danish newspaper has been postponed indefinitely. Federal prosecutors gave no reason today in announcing that Friday's scheduled hearing for David Coleman Headley had been canceled. The cancellation comes amid questions about whether the 49-year-old Headley was involved in planning the November 2008 terrorist attacks in the Indian city of Mumbai that left more than 170 people dead. Tonight, a Champaign County Board Committee will take up a proposal that would apply tax revenues made from wind turbines toward the purchase of more turbines or using solar energy locally. The Renewable Energy Fund would use some of the money earmarked for the county's general corporate fund, or about $100 per turbine per year. County Board member Sam Smucker says possible uses of the money could include installing solar panels on county and municipal government buildings or building a turbine to provide power to those buildings as well as local schools. And the city of Urbana has announced that it will begin booting vehicles with five or more outstanding parking tickets that are 30 days old. A $50 fee would be adding to outstanding fines. I'm Jeff Bonsert.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. And Mark Russo is on the line with us this afternoon from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this weather forecast. Looks like it's going to get colder by the end of the week.
Yeah, our pattern across not only North America, but across the whole Pacific, North America, Atlantic sector is going to be going through a period of transition here as the jet stream amplifies, and it's going to tap into some good cold up north, bringing that southward into the nation's midsection. So that really will occur most prominently as we go into the back half of this week, as we go Wednesday, more so into Thursday and Friday. Out ahead of that, we are going to see a storm system here crank up across the nation's midsection and actually produce some of the first snowflakes of the year in parts of the central and southern Midwest. So winter is arriving here as we turn the calendar to December.
Yeah, what will the highs and the lows look like as we get to the end of the week?
Well, by the end of the week, we only see high temperatures primarily in the 30s across much of the Midwest, even some upper 20s up north, and then lows dropping into the single digits and teens, especially over the upcoming weekend, which is when the core of cold will be positioned across the Midwest.
You know, farmers will want to avoid that if they can, simply because, well, nobody really likes to work outside when it's that cold, I suppose, although 30s not terribly cold. Will they get some good work days between now and then?
Yeah, especially across the northern areas, where we're just going to see limited precip, even with that storm system centered on Wednesday and on into Thursday. The track of the storm primarily impacts the southern Midwest and more so into the eastern Midwest. So, yeah, overall, the next couple of days are good. It does, you know, get a little bit slow as you go on into Wednesday, Thursday, particularly south and east. But then even with the colder temperatures, it looks relatively dry through the upcoming weekend.
We're working to take a crop out in the northern hemisphere, but they've been putting one in the southern hemisphere. How's that one going?
Well, there continue to be some issues across South America, especially across Brazil. Those issues lately has been wetness in areas of far southern Brazil, namely in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, and then in the north eastern corn and bean belt of Brazil, centered on the state of Goiás. That area has seen a drier bias of late. The bottom line, though, is that as we go into December, those issues will be improving, and southern Brazil will be turning drier. Northeastern Brazil will be turning wetter, so that's going to help improve the overall situation there. And then across Argentina, we've been in this mode of improvement over the past couple of weeks due to the unsettled pattern in Argentina, helping boost soil moisture after October and early November's dryness across that region. So bottom line here, Todd, as we go into December, is that South America, well, is improving, and overall by middle of the month should be in okay shape across that area.
Any place else around the globe we're keeping track of?
Yeah, we're watching dryness and warmth across areas of Russia and Ukraine as the crop here approaches winter dormancy. They're just too warm to go into a dormant state here. So that's something to watch here longer term. If you get any good cold shots with limited snow cover, or nonetheless just going into winter dormancy without very good soil moisture, that could potentially be an issue.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
And we'll talk with you next week. That's the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. They joined us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. You can always listen to it again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.